found it. Well, good morning. It is good to see everyone here this morning and to those online as well. We are continuing in the series Good News, and I just want to let you know we've still got a ways to go in the series Good News. You know, those four Gospels are pretty long books, and they're great books to read, and especially when you pull them all together as one unit. What we will do, though, and just kind of a, you know, FYI, we will take a pause from the series itself for the next couple of weeks until after the first of the year, just because next week we're going to be talking about Emmanuel, God with us, and then the next week we'll be talking about going into the new year as well. So it's been great doing this, and we're going to end with a message this morning titled Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. We're going to be at Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 37. Luke chapter 11, verse 37. And while you're turning there, I do want to just say that the sanctuary is getting fuller and fuller of Christmas decoration. Isn't it pretty? And if you missed it, and I don't remember exactly when we announced it, but if you missed it, we were encouraging you to bring an ornament. If you have one that represents your family, bring one from home, go to the store, buy one, make one, whatever you want to do, and kind of help decorate the tree. And you can leave it for the time here if you feel like taking it down, and it'll be here till the first of the year. And if you're like at my house, it'll be here till Easter. Just kidding. We take them down earlier than that. There was a year, though, however. But anyway, we'll leave it up. If you want to take it back home, you can do that at the end of the year. Or if you just want to say, you know what, I'm going to leave this ornament here. You can use it to decorate the tree every year. We'll start collecting the ornaments, and we'll put them in a box, and we'll just decorate every year with those same ornaments, so we can keep adding each year. And I'd be happy as the years go by that we have like six trees in here because we got so many ornaments on them that we need more trees. I love Christmas. But anyway, Luke chapter 11 this morning, verse 37, and the scripture says, "And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went and sat down to eat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, 'Now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But rather give alms of such things as you have. Then indeed all things are clean to you. But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Woe to you Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the temple and marketplaces. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like graves which are not seen, and the men men who walk over them are not aware of them.' Then one of the lawyers asked him and said, 'Teacher, by saying these things you reproach us also.' And he said, 'Woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for builders of tombs and prophets, your fathers killed them. In fact, you bear witness that you approve of the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. Yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter into yourself, you did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in you hindered.' And as he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something he might say, that they might accuse him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, I pray that you just open the scripture to us, open our hearts and our minds to receive what we need to receive this morning and apply it as you need us to apply it today, Lord Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Now, this is one of those messages that we can get into, and there's a whole bunch of stuff in here. And to be honest with you, it's also one that I can give you one single bullet point. If you want to take away, don't nod off, don't go to sleep. But if you don't catch anything else, catch this in the message today. Number one, God knows the heart behind all we do. God knows the heart behind all we do. See, the outside of a person can look perfectly good, but the inside is dirty. And if the inside is dirty, guess what? So is the outside. Now, you can see people, and it's amazing. You look at some of us, and you go, well, that person's not a healthy person. Just by the way we look, right? We're overweight. And that doesn't necessarily mean unhealthy. However, I go to the doctor. Doctors run tests. They do things. They look at me, look at the test results, and go, you're like a miracle. Because all my stuff has been good. And then they always follow it up with, however, a time is coming when, if you don't fix these things, guess what? Yeah, you're right. But there's people, and you see them all the time, the super healthy, fit ones jogging down the street, you know, never smiling. I've never seen a jogger smile. But people running down the street, they're in shape all the time, and what happens to them? Oh, they keel over dead. See, what they didn't know was something was going on inside that they couldn't see. Now, how we are and how we do things, God knows the heart of this. And if our inside, if we're doing things from wrong motives, wrong mannerisms, then God knows it. God sees it. And what's coming out here is corrupted as well. And Jesus gets after them for being hypocrites. And he flat out calls them hypocrites. And then he issues these six woes to them. Now, this is not like, whoa, like you're riding a horse and you go, whoa, all right? This is woe, W-O-E, a state of intense hardship or distress or disaster or horror. To look at somebody and say, I wish horror on you. I wish disaster on you. That's a heavy thing, isn't it? But that's what he's saying. Disaster be on your head, Pharisees, for here's what you do. Now, in the Talmud, they actually list seven types of the Pharisees. And I'm going to give you the first six now. We'll give you number seven here later. But they almost line up with what Jesus said here. Now, the Talmud came a little bit later. So I have a feeling it was written with kind of what Jesus said here in mind. See, the first Pharisee that the Talmud mentions is called the shoulder Pharisee. This is one who wear their good actions on their shoulders for everyone to see. Now, you've seen military uniforms, right? In military uniforms, how do you know when somebody's been in the service a long time? Boy, they've got, we call it fruit salad. They got the fruit salad right here, right? You know, you got the stripes on the arm. You got all the stuff. You got ropes hanging off your shoulders. That person has done stuff. How do you know the young buck recruit? He's got one little stripe right here, and he got nothing but a name tag everywhere else, right? And maybe a marksmanship badge if he was good enough. And that's it. And it's not that he's any less of a soldier. It's just he hasn't done anything yet. Now, there's a reason they wear it, and they wear it out in public, and you should be noted for what your accomplishments are. I have no problem with that. But what you don't see is you never see these military leaders wear that uniform out into the field, do they? They don't run out into the jungle with their fruit salad stapled to their battlefield, you know, their dress uniform or their camouflage uniform. Why? What's the enemy see? Ooh, wait a minute. Got all the stuff you got. They become a target at that point. But see, these Pharisees wear their good actions on their shoulders for everyone to see. They lift it up. They carry around what they've done as a sign. Look at what I've done. They give themselves awards and pat themselves on the back, so to speak. And yeah, I do this. I give this. They're just on display for everyone to see. The second one is the wait a little Pharisee, who always finds excuses for putting off a good deed. Well, I got something going on right now. I just wait a little bit. I'll do that later. Well, you know what? I gave last week. I just wait a little. The third one is the bruised Pharisee. Now, these are funny, because these are the ones who run into walls because they're so busy avoiding looking at women. Now, in fairness, their desire to not lust or be in sin looking at women is a good thing, right? But there's a better way than being goofy and running into a wall while not doing it, isn't there? And this is what they would do. They would literally close their eyes because here comes a woman. They go, ah, and close their eyes and run in, you know, and try to get away and not look at where they're going and run into walls. I'm sure you could do this. You can still see where you're going, right? But the point of it was to make a spectacle of themselves, to bring attention to themselves. So they called them the bruised Pharisees. Now, if you've ever run into a wall, you know what I'm talking about. I had kids. I've seen them run straight through the house and just, I don't know what happened. They missed the turn going in the hallway. Blam, right into the wall. It's funny. You try not to laugh, but you do. Number four, the pestle, or the hunched over Pharisee. This is the ones that walk over and pretend humility all the time. Oh, I'm so humble. I'm so humble. And it's not real. Five, the ever-reckoning Pharisee. This is the one who's always weighing their good deeds against their bad. Oh, well, yeah, sure, I did that, but look, I gave alms to these people. I'm better than you are because look what I do. Now, there's probably a lot of church people that fall into this one. Oh, well, I go to church. I'm there every Sunday, Sunday school, Sunday morning. I'm there all the time. So I'm way better than anything I've done wrong, I've completely made up for that. And then there's the fearful Pharisee. And these are the ones who are frightened of doing the wrong thing. Now, in a sense, again, there's nothing necessarily wrong with these, depending on the attitude with which the endeavor takes place. Should you be concerned about doing the wrong thing sometimes? Yeah. Now, if you look at the world we're in, is our world really concerned with saying or doing the wrong thing right now? Yeah, what do we call it? Political correctness, right? That you can't say certain things if you say it, or you put something out there that somebody's going to either decide it's racist, it's sexist, it's this, or it's this-ist. Or there's so many ist out there, I can't keep up with them right now. And so what happens is people instead, they're too worried about speaking truth and being honest or whatever, but for fear of doing the wrong thing. Now, Jesus, he issued these woes. And he gave woes kind of specific to them and in a language that was a little more colorful than here's exactly what you've done. And so we're going to look at the woes here in just a second. And the first woe we're going to bring up is obviously woe number one. In other words, these Pharisees went to the extreme on the man-made imposed rules for fear of not tithing something that they could have, but skipped showing God's love and justice. Now see, the Pharisees began, and then the lawyers got involved way back when and started writing more and more rules onto things. God said, give 10% of your first fruits. Give 10% of the best of your livestock. That type of thing. They went in and go, oh, well, we got to be careful. You know, it's one thing if you grow a field full of cabbage or broccoli or corn or something. I don't know why I went with cabbage and broccoli. Gross. A field full of corn to give 10% of your corn. But if you just got a mint plant, you know, just growing out there and it grows and God has blessed you with a plant full of mint leaves, should you tithe that? Well, the scribes and Pharisees went, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to count. Oh, I've got 100 leaves on there. They would pull off 10 of them and take it and tithe it. And some of it was that fearful nature of, I don't want to mess up and not do the right thing. So I'm going to do the extreme. But what they forget is this is a man-made rule that they're putting on themselves. This is a man-made extreme that they've gotten to. And even if that would have been okay, the biggest part of what God says at this point is you are so concerned about the rules and thinking that you might do something wrong, you forget to meet the needs and take care of the people, which is what I really care about. Why did God give us rules in the Old Testament? Why did God give his people things to follow and things to do? It was for their benefit. It's the same reason, hopefully, that as parents, we give our children rules to follow. We give them guidelines to follow. It should be the same reason that the government has laws and things. It's to help protect people. Why is there a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit or a 65-mile-an-hour speed limit? Because somebody in their mathematical wisdom has looked at things and said, it is okay to travel at this speed. Now, that's altruistic view of it. Some people would say, well, that's just the government putting a arbitrary number on there just so that if you go over it, they can collect your tax money by writing you a ticket. All right, well, okay, maybe. But at some point, somebody said, you know what would be safer if they didn't drive 110 miles an hour? And they might be right. An accident at 30 is way different than an accident at 80, isn't it? You're a whole lot safer at 30 miles an hour than you are at 80. Unless everybody else on the road is doing 80 and you're the one doing 30. Now you've got an issue. But I'm preaching about driving on the interstate. But anyway. But see, sometimes we get so caught up in the, we need to do this. This is the way it has been. These are the rules that we have. The plans that we've laid out, the reasons we do this. And we're missing, we're so focused on these that we're missing the ability and the need to reach the people of showing God's love and His justice in this world. Which is more important than meeting some of these rules that we've placed on ourselves. I mean, think about it. You have a tithe check, and God bless you for giving to the ministry at Hague Baptist Church. But your check is in your hand, or you know, maybe you got a $100 bill or something like that, and you're coming to get put this in the offering plate, and you got to give to the ministry, but somebody meets you on the side of the road. And they're down on their luck, they're hurting. You only have one thing to be able to give them. Do you say, God bless you, move along and bring your money here? Or do you give it to the person? Well, on one hand, you're like, well, God's told me I got to give this to the church. I got to give it to the ministry. Well, what's our ministry supposed to be? To be honest with you, I think you're skipping the middleman. And you're giving right to the ministry of God by giving it to the person. Now, please don't hear me. This is not the pastor saying, take all your tithe money and go give it to everybody. All right? I'm saying that when God is speaking, when God is moving, when God is leading us a certain way, we have to look at the greater things that God is calling us to do than the things that we have established for ourselves to do. The second woe is they love the best for themselves and they love the adoration of man. They love the best for themselves and for the adoration of man. Now, we all like to be acknowledged for things we do good, don't we? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Now, if we everything we do is just so we get people to say thank you or, man, you're awesome, now we've got a problem. I think it comes back to why we do it. But I don't think there's anything wrong, and I think we should often recognize people for doing things. In a church this size, there are many people that do things behind the scenes that we don't know about. Some will get paid for it. There's some that come up here all the time doing things that nobody knows. I mean, if you look outside, you'll see there's parts of the driveway that have been cleaned. There's sand that's been spread out all over to fill in holes. There's cleaning up that's constantly done. If you like driving in and go, wow, this place looks good. Well, there's two guys right back here that you can thank for that. Steve and Rush. I know Steve, he loads up stuff, brings stuff up here, drags stuff from home. Pressure washing, tractor, shovel, whatever. And so thank you. There's those that take time and do the books. You know, and do the accounting stuff. Thank you. We have those that clean and the help clean. Thank you. When we use bulletins, we had somebody who would do bulletins. We haven't had to have them because of COVID for a while, but we'll get back there eventually. See, there's so many things, and I know I'll miss people, and if I didn't say your name, please don't be offended. But that's the reality, is that we do love to be recognized, don't we? But why do we do it? Now, they love the best for themselves. We can for sure see that in churches. And I'll tell you, the biggest one in churches that people have fought with for years is music. And we've talked about it. We've talked about it, you know, a lot, is how, you know, all we love all genres of music. We love the old stuff, but there's new stuff out there too. Well, I don't like that. Well, me neither. But, you know, and that's the hard part for us sometimes, is it's not always about us. You've heard stories, and I don't think we've had it here, but there are people that have their special seat within the church. They love the best seat. They have staked their pew out, and that is where they are. And have and see, there's a difference between habit and just kind of falling into the same spot every week, which I think we all do, and then claiming it as your pew. See, the difference is, I bet most of y'all, if not all of y'all, I'm going to go with all of y'all. I'm going to bet all of y'all. I believe all of y'all. I don't bet, I'm Baptist. I believe all of y'all that if a visitor came in and were sitting directly in your spot, you would not walk up to said visitor and look at them and go, and they would be like, what? You're in my spot. That has happened. That there have been people at the church that knew it was Brother So-and-so's spot, and we're going, ooh, watch this, they're in so-and-so's spot, watch what happens. Watching to see when Brother So-and-so got there. Some nice people got up and went, look, I know you're a visitor, why don't y'all come sit with us? That's so-and-so's spot. We don't want you to get in trouble. Trouble for a seat. We do it. We may not, but it happens within the church. Now, what's that say to a visitor? It says, I love where my tushy goes more than I love you. That's what it says. It's the same thing as the Pharisees. Horror be on your head. Trouble be on your head, because this is how you feel. Number three, they were causing people to think that they are walking rightly, but really leading them to destruction. That's this whole thing about walking over the graves that they can't see. A Jewish custom, what happened if you touched a grave? You became unclean, ceremonially. Now, in one of the other Gospels, Jesus says it this way. He calls them what? Whitewashed tombs. And there he's talking about the fact that they have washed over the outside to try to take the dead off of it, to make it look clean and be clean. But the reality is it's still dead on the inside. There's still decay and death in there. And it doesn't matter how much you paint it, you're still unclean. And here he's saying, look, you're causing the people think they're right in way because you're not telling them where they're walking. You're letting them believe that everything's fine, and they're walking right across these things and defiling themselves in this world because you won't say anything, because you won't show them where the graves are. And it's a fine line for us as a church to walk sometimes, to let people know where they are not, where they're walking. I'm trying to remember a joke, and there's several of them, but I think one is the old people driving up the country road, and they're standing on next to the side of the road going up this mountain. There's a guy holding a sign that says, the end is near. People just keep driving and laughing and driving and laughing, and then what you don't see is they get around the corner, they fall off the side of the mountain because the road is out, the bridge is out. Finally, one of the neighbors comes over and goes, you know, we might change that sign to the bridge is out instead of saying the end is near, you know? And a lot of times we do that. We'll throw our lingo out there. We'll say this or that. We're not speaking it plainly in truth. But we have a warning for people. We can see what's coming. And yet we're just letting them go on and go straight on into destruction. Just drive right up on around and around the corner and off the cliff. Fourth woe. Holding people to a standard even they don't uphold. Sound familiar? Who's seen this in the news recently? Now, not to get on the political subject of to wear a mask and COVID things, because COVID's a horrible thing. We've been seeing it. I've got family members now that are coming down with it. A pastor in town, his whole family wound up with COVID. And three of the four of them wound up in a hospital, and the fourth one probably should be at some point. And it's a horrible thing that's going around out there, and I think people should take every precaution as humanly possible. But you want to talk about being hypocritical. Don't go out to eat. Don't go out to eat. You stay at home. Skip your Thanksgiving with your family. Forget your loved ones. Everything else, yada, yada, yada. Oh, but I'm going to go to a several $1,000 a plate restaurant and meet with people. And not even wear a mask. We can't have people. We can't have barbershops and beauty salons open. Should not do that. Oh, you know what? I'm a political leader. I'll just walk in and get my hair did anyway. This world is full of hypocrites, isn't it? This world is full of people. Hey, and we can get political all day long, but guess what? They don't stop in politics. The church is full of them too. I mean, what is a hypocrite? Literally, a hypocrite is someone who wears a mask, someone who pretends to be one thing while showing the rest of the world something else. It's a term that actors used to use. When we are walking in hypocrisy, that's what we're doing. We're being deceptive. We're pretending to be one thing while we're not. And we can't hold people to standard that even we don't uphold. And I think churches, we do this. And I think sometimes our expectations of people are just out of whack, period. Now, if you have been a Christian for 50 years, do I expect you to understand certain biblical things and the way God wants you to behave? Yeah. If you've never set foot in a church in your life, do I expect you to come in here and act like that person has been here 50 years? No. Why? You don't know. I don't expect a 2-year-old to sit down and do quantum physics. Heck, I don't expect most of us to sit down and do quantum physics. But you wouldn't expect that of a 2-year-old, would you? Because they haven't been taught. They don't know. I think we put expectations on people based on where we are, based on what we know, based on what we understand, expect them to act the same way and be the same way when they're not. They got to get there. But then there's many cases we expect them to be a certain way and act a certain way when we don't even do it. We have to be careful. Woe number five is demanding to hear from God, yet killing the messenger. The religious leaders will always want to hear from God. Speak to us, Father. Speak to us. God sent prophets. What happened to most of the prophets? The good Jewish people killed them. Church is like this sometimes. Speak to us, God. Speak to us. And God says, here you go. And you go, nah, not what I wanted to hear. That was not the message. And I'm not going to listen to that one. Now, there are times, in fairness, that the messenger comes and says things that the messenger does need to be removed because the messenger is not saying things of God. But oftentimes, people will go after the messenger when the messenger is just bringing truth. And it because it goes back up to some of these things like they love the best for themselves. And what the messenger is saying may mess with that a little bit. It may make them a little uncomfortable, or it may make them greatly uncomfortable. It challenges them. And it may not be a literal kill. I haven't seen them, you know, run a pastor out and actually, you know, shoot him out in the parking lot anytime recently. I haven't heard of it, you know. I mean, the funniest thing I've seen over the past is the church is talking about the hanging of the greens. And somebody asked, what did they do? You know, hanging of these greens. And they were like, I don't know what that family did, but, you know. Sorry, bad joke. And woe number six. They teach false doctrines. prevent people from hearing the truth. Now, this is wildly prevalent in this world today. There are many a church, and they're drawing people by the thousands. And it's not to say every super huge large church is doing this. They're not. All right? There are some quote-unquote mega churches that are so biblically grounded and just rooted in the Word of God, it's amazing. And God has blessed them. But there's a lot of churches, small and large. But people love them. Scripture says it's going to happen. They love to have their ears tickled. They love to hear what they want to hear. They don't like the hard truth. So they teach false doctrine. And they prevent people from hearing the truth. And as he said back there, I was looking back at this, and it talks about them being required of this generation. And that's payment for the blood of the prophets. And you know what? It's going to be required for this generation. There's a group of believers, there's a group of non-believers that we all are going to have to stand before God and make account for what we heard and what we accepted and what we believe. Right or wrong, whichever way we go, we are going to stand before God, and God is going to go, why did you do this? Why didn't you do this? And fortunately for us as believers, most of the time we can just plead the blood of Christ over it, and it'll be washed away. But there will be an accounting. I mean, Scripture says there will be an accounting for every word we uttered. Boy, that's scary, isn't it? Especially some of the words I know I've uttered in my life. I'll just be real. Not every word I've uttered. Where did I go there? Not every word I have uttered in my life has been a life-giving word. I have not blessed people that way every time. Right? And we know in the South, even sometimes saying the nice words are not really blessings, are they? You hear a Southern woman go, bless her heart. That is not a compliment. But to teach false doctrines, to teach false truth, and even more so to prevent people from coming in. And I think this is where a lot of churches get caught. It's not so much the teaching of. It's that everything else we pile on, everything else that we do, we block the door for non-believers to come in and receive the truth. Instead of being wide open, available, and saying, come, hear from the Word of God. Come, hear, meet God personally. Woe to us for not doing so. Now, I can't point at anyone in here and say, this is you. You're this Pharisee. That's not for me to do. That's for God to say. Hey, that one was for you. Number six, that's you. Number three. My encouragement to you is to ask God, God, am I being one of these? What mask do I have on, God? Am I trying to show everybody in the church around me one thing, but when I leave here or when I encounter others, I'm a completely different way? If so, God, forgive me. And if so, God, help me to not be that. Because the seventh type of Pharisee, this is the one that we need to get to that the Talmud speaks about. It's the God-loving Pharisee. It's the one who really loves God from their heart and takes delight in His law. So in other words, love God from your heart and take delight in His law or in His word. Take delight. Who loves to be punished? No one. Who loves to be corrected? No one. But guess what? Scripture says we are to take the light into His law. And there's a lot of what God's law and what God's word says. It is corrective for us, is it not? We tend to like to take delight in the good stuff, the promises, the hope for the future. That one day Jesus will return. We'll take delight in that. But I'm not taking delight in the fact that I've got to put myself aside and see other people as more important than me. I'm not going to take delight in the fact that God told me to do unto others as I want done unto me. I'm just going to do unto others any way I want to. They don't like it, they can get out. But to really love God from our heart, to truly love, not showing it out there. If we love from the inside, what happens? Does the world see it? Yeah. Yeah, because when we put something inside us, something is bigger than us, something is greater than us, and that is God and the love of God and the ministry and the mission, the work of Christ within our lives, this gospel message, when we put it in here and it begins to fill up, it can only do one thing, and that is to go out. We cannot contain it. I'm not a morning person. I used to be even worse. I'm probably a little better now. Maybe a little. I'm still not the most joyful person to be around, at least until I've had coffee. Right? But there's always those people. God bless them. Bless their hearts. You know the ones I'm talking about, those peppy Christians? You know, that the love of God is just, it's on their face. Everywhere they go, they're like, hi. They just love everybody. Oh, bless you. Oh, God. You know? They're always smiling. They always seem to be happy. Well, your dog just died. Well, God has blessed me with him for 10 years, and God will bless me with it. Who are you people? They used to make me nuts. Walk into church morning. Isn't this just a blessed day? I haven't had coffee yet. Leave me alone. You know what I mean? But see, they're the ones. Man, God is in them. And when God is in you like that, it's got to come out. I've spent time where I've been, and y'all get the benefit, and you can ask my wife. She probably loves the fact that I'm actually in a pulpit preaching every Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday, because her amount of sermons at home have gone way down. Right? Yeah. Because when I didn't have an outlet to preach, because it's something God has put in me, and that gospel is there, and that message is there, I can't contain it. It's got to come out somewhere. Now, I probably should have gone to Publix, but they take a dim view of standing in the middle of the produce section and preaching at people. But see, that's what happens, man. When you really love God from your heart, when you love God with everything in here, it boils up. Your cup fills up and it runs over. You know what it's like to boil water, don't you? I made oatmeal this morning. Now, oatmeal, I got a pot this big. Well, it's not about this big. I got water that's this big. And oatmeal is no thicker than that. It should not. But what happens, I get the water boiling, I dump the oatmeal in, and I step back for a minute or two. You know what the next thing I look up and see? I see like this foam and boil going over my pot. Why? I don't know the physics or the science behind it. I just know that at some point when stuff is rapidly boiling, things will overflow. And see, and that's what God should be doing within us. God is bubbling up and boiling with us with the truth and the love of God and the gospel message within us, that it should bubble up inside. Then we should be wanting to share it everywhere, or we should explode. And take delight in the Word of God. Study the Word, read the Word, apply the Word. Enjoy it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you have come, that you have sacrificed yourself and paid that penalty for us so that we could have eternal life with you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you just reveal to each and every one of us, God, what mask are we wearing? God, if we are wearing a mask, help us to remove it. Help us to be who we are. And God, that may take you changing what's really inside us. And if there's anyone who has never accepted you as their Lord and Savior today, have never said, you know what, I'm going to give you my everything, God. I'm going to give you my life. Holy Spirit, I pray you speak to them right now. You just say, if you need a change, if you don't want to be a hypocrite, you got to start from the inside. Let me come and change it. See, that's what Jesus wants to do. Jesus wants to come and renew everything that is in us, to take that sinful nature and remove it. And so if you've never given your life today, answer the call this morning. Say, yes, yes, Jesus, I will follow you. If you're walking in that manner where you are wearing that mask, and just ask God to work in your life, forgive you, show you where to change, how to change, equip you to do so. Hey God, as we eventually go from this place, just let your gospel just explode within us. So that we can reach this world for you, Lord Jesus. Jesus, we thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.